Well, now, as we get back to this series on love, let me just quickly recap. The origin of love is divine. God took the initiative in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Our love to others is evidence of our love for God. And love is the assurance that we have life. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And then the love of God is unselfish. The love of God is perfect, meaning complete and mature. And there's no fear in love. Spend a bit of time speaking about that. And then I also talked about how love is a royal badge. And our discipleship, the truth of it is known by the fact that we have loved one to another. Of course, John 3:16, God's love is universal. It was Bob Jones Jr. who made the statement, God uses the thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of love. I'll repeat that. God uses a thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of love. And so just how much we love God is revealed by our obedience.
Yes, sir.
Not by what we say, but by our obedience.
That's good.
What we do, how we live. Well, now tonight, I begin with the love of God is unending. And what I mean by unending, it is not withdrawn. When God saves us, He keeps us. He will not take His love back from us. It's in John chapter 13, verse 1, that says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Well, now, for the immediate context there, He loved them to the end of His earthly ministry, to the end of His time with them. He says He was about to be taken out of the world. But we know from the total teaching of Scripture that it's not only to the end of those who were there with Him on the earth, but it is unending for all of us. Let's look at a couple scriptures on that. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 37. It's a very precious verse because of the truth that it gives. Of course, what Bible verse isn't precious because of the truth it gives? But in the context of our subject of love, John chapter 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, here it is, I will in no wise cast out. He will not refuse them. He will receive them. And as is spoken in chapter 13, verse 1, regarding He loved them to the end, we find that that was not only true for those people there with Him on the earth, but as we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 7, because in Hebrews chapter 7, we see another aspect of this matter of God's love being unending. Because it's in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, that we read, Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God saves to the uttermost. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How long does that love last? It lasts to the uttermost. There is no end to it. to the extreme that it needs to be, he is able to save them. Why? Because he ever liveth. Now, if he was not ever living, then we might have reason to question how long he could keep us. But he ever liveth.
Amen.
To make intercession. And so it is to the uttermost. It's unending. And his love is eternal. Now that may seem to a Wednesday night crowd to make the statement his love is eternal might seem very basic. And it is very basic, but it's also significant. It's in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 that I read these words. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, God found it important to say that his love is everlasting. God would be verifying his love if he simply said, yea, I have loved thee with love. But he clarifies that it's an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He drew us to himself. John chapter 6, he tells us that no man can come to the Father except he be drawn, except we are drawn to him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Praise God, that's what the Holy Spirit did.
Amen.
He draws us.
Yes.
Now, I'm still in the book of Hebrews because I read Jeremiah from my notes. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 9, where we read some more regarding the eternal love of God and the eternality of the effect of that love. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, where he says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, here it is, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained eternal redemption. So some people say, well, if you're saved, you can lose it. No, because he tells us it's an eternal redemption. And it can be eternal because of his everlasting love. It never ends. And so then you're in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, you see, verse 13 talks about the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer and so on. And then he says in verse 14, in contrast, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what God does when he saves us. Our conscience is purged and we are now free to serve the living God. Maybe we ought not be able to do that. We don't deserve it. But that's grace. You see? That's grace giving us what we don't deserve. And praise God, he tells us that we are able to serve the living God. You know, it'd be one thing if God saved us and said, okay, now your sin's forgiven and when you die, you can go to heaven. That'd be marvelous in itself. But until we go to heaven, he says we may serve him. It's not right that we have to try to convince people to serve God. It's a privilege to serve God.
Amen.
Not just anybody can serve God. It's not exclusive in the sense that there are only choice people, but it's exclusive in that it is something that we are not forced to do. We're not made to do, but it's a privilege to do it.
Amen.
And so we serve the living God. Verse 15, still in Hebrews 9. And for this cause he is the mediator. For what cause? For the cause of the serving of the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of, here it is, eternal inheritance.
Amen.
Eternal inheritance. And it's a marvelous thing. God's love is eternal. Another thing that we talk about with the matter of God's love is that love and truth are inseparably bound together. Love and truth. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 15. You may recall hearing this verse. It's often quoted in messages having to do with the truth of God and proclaiming the truth and being willing to stand up for the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Speaking the truth in love. Now, if you're dealing with the subject of compromise, if you're dealing with the subject of an individual or churches that compromise and do not stand for the truth, this verse is often quoted that we ought to be speaking the truth. Okay? Now, it says in love.
Amen.
And of course, if the emphasis is that we're going to talk about love, love is not just mushy emotional feelings, it's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, that love involves truth. For a person to say that, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love going to church." But then they don't live by the truth.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Right.
So you see, love and truth go together.
Amen.
Okay? Like we often say, like salt and pepper. But not everybody uses both of them. Okay? And so, bread and butter. But some people eat it without bread. Okay? I mean, without butter. And so, the idea is love and truth go together. And and if we're going to be proclaiming truth, we must do it with a spirit of love. No doubt about it. But if we're going to love, we need to do it while we live the truth. They go together. Another thing regarding love is that real love is unbelievable. Okay. Now, God loves us. And His Spirit convicted us and we got saved. And now we're born again and we have a home in heaven and we have the Holy Spirit to help us live in this life. We ought to love each other and we ought to just rest in the love of God. And it's unbelievable. Well, then how can I do it if it's unbelievable? Okay, it's not. And when we say it's unbelievable, what we're meaning is that it's beyond what we could ourselves concoct. Let's turn to the book of Luke. You cannot, in the flesh, in the old nature, imitate the love that God puts into us, creates in us, and enables us to have. You can produce in the natural man some imitations in sentiments and feelings and emotions and words, okay? But what we're going to read here, you'll understand what I mean. It takes the grace of God to do this in us as a believer. Now we're in Luke chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse 27. And you'll see why the love of God, it's unbelievable to us. "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." That's not enough. He says, "Bless them that curse you. And then don't even stop there. You go ahead and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now how long do you think you're going to be able to produce that in the flesh? How long do you think you're going to be able to imitate true Bible love? No, we live by, I'll get even. Okay? That's what we live by. That's what the old man says. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. You know, you do me dirty, I'll do you dirty back. That's what the flesh says. But we don't live in the flesh. We're in the spirit. You see? You're sitting here looking like anybody and everybody else. I'm standing here looking like any and everybody else. But we're different. Why are we different? Because the Spirit of God lives in us.
Amen.
You know, I've got some wonderful neighbors where we live there on North 19th Street. While we were out in Kansas and this big snow came, Nina went down to the house, our daughter, and she was going to shovel, got down there and found out that the neighbors had already done it.
Amen.
That was real nice of them. They weren't sure when we were getting home, so they shoveled it so it'd be taken care of. Another man who likes to mow lawns, and the extended part of our back lawn, and there's three neighbors that have a extended part of the back lawn. Fortunately, it's not a whole lot, but it's nevertheless there. And he mows it in the summertime because he likes to mow. So we got some nice neighbors. But you see, nice people cannot produce this. Okay? And you in your nicest state of existence cannot produce this.
That's right.
Okay? Because that old nature that's in us will be a horrible scoundrel. And so, but he doesn't just stop at verse 28, despitefully using. He says, unto them that smite thee on one cheek, offer also the other. That's where you lived, right, Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard his testimony. But it's not just his testimony.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? What big deal if you do nice things to people who do nice things to you? It's easy to do nice things to people who are nice to you.
Right.
But what when you do good things to people who aren't nice, that's how you know the grace of God is at work in your heart. Verse 34. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? If you're going to loan somebody money, you expect to get it back, maybe a little bit more. For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sounds good, doesn't it? Lives hard.
Uh-huh. Yes,
okay? Lives hard. And I cannot tell you how in each situation and circumstance that we can meet in a day or a week or a living of life, how to apply this. I don't think that the Bible teaches us to be the patsies for the world. I don't think that the Bible teaches us that we ought to allow ourselves to be a doormat, like where you work, for example, to be a doormat, let everybody take abuse of you and misuse you. I don't think the Bible teaches that. how to apply this, I cannot tell you specifically in each situation you might meet. But I do know this. It gives us the spirit and the attitude and the heart that we need to have, so that we don't live by the old nature.
Amen.
That we don't live by what is commonly accepted, even in Christian circles, what is commonly accepted as an action or a reaction to something. And it's with that thought that I say real love is unbelievable. It's far different than what you would normally see and experience. You say, well, if you can't tell me how to do it and how to live it, who can? Glad you asked. He who lives in you.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're born again, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and He is the one who can tell you how. And it's a learning experience. In plain words, you may blow it sometimes. But you can learn from it when your desire is to do what God wants. Don't be afraid of mistakes. We can learn from them. We can grow by them. Now that doesn't mean we should go out and purposely make mistakes. No, I'm going to grow. I'm going to go make a mistake. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in the process of seeking God's direction and asking the Holy Spirit to help us to know how to live, what is my reaction? How do I handle this, Lord? And His Spirit will teach us. And I believe a passage like this shows us the attitude, the direction that we need to be headed into. Let me take one more. The love of God is costly. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verse 18 and 19. The love of God is costly. It's free to us in that there's nothing we can pay for it, monetarily or even in actions. We can't say, God, I want your love. If you give me your love, then I'll do thus and such, you know, and live in a certain way. People do that, but that isn't how we get the love of God. We get the love of God by grace through faith. And it's costly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, money, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with, this is what we were redeemed with, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are redeemed by the blood. Of course, so many songs that we sing about that. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, redeemed. And just it's so many that we could sing about the redemption. But the love of God is costly. It costs the Son, it cost the Savior and His death. If we could have lived when He lived, if we could have seen Him as we see each other, I do believe that His death would impact us even more than what it does. Because sometimes the fact that it happened so long ago, and we never saw Him, but still we love Him. That's why He said that those who have not seen and yet believed, blessed are they. That's us, folks. And it's because of the price that Jesus paid. Well, we have a few more that we'll look at next week. I'm a little leery to say anything about the future. Never know what's going to happen, but that is the intention. Now, prayer requests. What do we have by way of prayer requests? Yes, Trevor. Your cat now. Dog fell out of favor, and now we're on the cat. Okay. Trevor's animals. John.
Thank you for continuing prayer for our boys.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's remember to be praying for Sharon. Because the Spirit of God would strengthen, but Satan will oppose. Jody.
One unspoken praise, and the other one, just a praise for Monday. It went so well. Everybody had a really great time.